Hello and welcome to your weekly roundup of all the latest news and ramble about the world of electric cars from the team at electrifying.com. So this week we will be discussing electric trucks, some big price cuts and the VW ID buzz. Plus we'll be answering your electric car questions, discussing Tom's bargains of the week and dipping into the postbag to find out your views on everything electric. Welcome to the Kilowatt Half Hour. I'm Nicola.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Mike.
Fabulous. How are we, team?
Good.
I'm good.
Yeah. I know that you're good, Tom, because I saw you yesterday, because me and Tom had like the best day of our entire lives yesterday.
It was
very hard work.
Thanks for the
invite. We were saying as well, at the end of the day, we were like, I can't wait to discuss this on the podcast tomorrow. If anything, we're just not going to let Mike speak because we've got so much to talk about. Sit back and relax, Mike, please.
Wake me up when you're finished.
Come on, so then. What was it like?
Right. Yesterday, me and Tom were truckers, like full-blown truckers. We drove not just bin lorry trucks or like a sort of big delivery truck, but we drove a full, massive, articulated lorry with trailer on the back and everything, fully electric, around actual roads. Kind of actual roads. It's like a test track. It's a place called Millbrook, which if you're not a car person, you've probably never heard of it before, but I can guarantee you've seen it in TV shows and things like that. But it's a fully private test track that has real roads, real hilly roads, and like mile straights and things that you can test thing out. So we did, like, we actually did full electric truck driving yesterday. It was amazing. How are you feeling,
it was, Tom? Yeah, it was great. I mean, the weird thing was you get in these things and you look at the controls, but for the ones that have are fixed, they're not articulated. I think we both got the hang of it quite quickly, didn't it?
Yeah.
And they have rear steering axles and things, so it's not too difficult, really. You're just obviously very high up and all that sort of thing. The articulated lorry is, you have to completely change the way you drive and the way you think about things. We were on a private test track, so there was no one to kill. But you know, out on the open road, I need another day or probably a week to try reversing, because I really wanted to try that, because I just about got the hang of doing things like go around. Yeah, they actually said no, you're not allowed to do that. Like going around roundabouts and things. And the thing was, after we left in our cars, I found myself taking this really weird line around corners for about 10 minutes. The people behind us are thinking, what's he doing? Why is he going on that side of the road? I'm like, oh, I don't have to anymore.
It's such a weird sensation. I mean, it gave me a newfound respect for lorry drivers, which I've always had a respect for them anyway, because those vehicles are ridiculous that they drive. But you're always fully aware that they have to take the corners slightly different because of this super long trailer. But it's further than you think it is. And then you're having to think, right, I'm turning right, I kind of have to go left and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. And then I'm going to turn right. It's such a weird sensation, but eventually I think we kind of got the hang of it. But the concentration that you need, and also got them up to top speed, which was 56 mile an hour, which feels really fast, which is weird, because when you're on the motorway and you see a lorry going 56, you get annoyed because they're going slow. But it's fast in those things when you've got to think about braking times and turning and reaction times and just the size of everything and the wind shaking the whole entire thing. It's such a weird and amazing sensation. So we have got to say a massive thank you to Mercedes Trucks for inviting us along for the day, because it was so much fun. And there will be a video coming out very soon.
There's a video which is full of interesting things. I mean, they're electric trucks. Obviously, that's why we went to go and drive them.
Yeah.
But there are lots of interesting things in there about how it works in terms of how long drivers are legally allowed to keep driving for before they have to stop, and how fast you have to charge in that time in order to keep going for the next time they have to stop, which show you how it could work. So the next generation of electric trucks will have 600 kilowatt hour batteries and will charge at 1 megawatt. Now, if you think about cars now, you know, 100 kilowatt, oh, that's all right, yeah. And, yeah, oh, I've got 100 kilowatt hour battery. Oh, that's big, yeah. 600 kilowatt hour and 1 terawatt. Yeah.
So, because the idea is that a lorry driver legally can drive for 4.5 hours, and then they have to stop and have a 45-minute break. And in those 45 minutes, they need to be able to charge up the lorries from zero or whatever, 10%, up back up to 100 and off they go again. But at the moment, the infrastructure isn't quite there, but it's getting there. There's been like huge investments that's been put in that eventually in that 45-minute break where they can go and pop to the loo and have a sandwich or do whatever, that the whole thing can be charged up and off they go. And it should work. And I think it will work. I mean, especially when it comes to the bin lorries. Totally makes sense. Because you think a normal bin lorry is doing what? 40 miles at the most on a journey, just going around little streets. Doesn't need to go any further than that. And then you need the electrics to get everything moving in the back and stuff. And then you go back and then you charge of an evening. It's totally doable. So much fun.
Our council here in Weymouth had a trial of electric bin lorries. And people complained because one of the complaints was, I can hear it coming, which is usually my clue to come to go and put the bins out. Of course, these things are silent. They just roll up. We didn't think it would have our bins emptied. I thought, well, because usually they're usually around a sort of 6:30, 7 o'clock in our road. And it's usually, you know, one day a week, you don't need an alarm. But this time it was completely silent. So we woke up thinking, oh, bins haven't come. Of course, when we checked, they're empty. But they even had people complain about anything, won't they? But it was lovely. I think they must have been on loan for a month to see if they like them or not. So we've gone back to horrible old diesel ones now, which I can hear three streets away. But it does stuff that doesn't do a huge mileage. It doesn't need a top speed. Mm. And you can charge it up in the yard overnight. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm. And they know their journeys. They know the exact trip that they're going to be doing. They don't need to go past 20 mile an hour most of the time. They're stopping every, what, 6 houses, something like that. And if you missed the bins because you didn't hear them, then you should have done it the night before, set an alarm on your phone or something.
Ironically,
it's up to you, I'm afraid.
Ironically, I have my milk delivered because I like to use the local dairy rather than a sort of supermarket. And they've switched to electric vehicles now for delivering the milk. And they had the cheek to sort of put anything saying, we're embracing the future, we're going to have electric vehicles to deliver your milk. And I was thinking, well, if only someone had thought of been doing that a few years ago, you know, with electric vehicles and milk. It's like when I saw on Facebook, there's a company that's developed like an electric sail on a boat, you know, and they said this is going to be the first of its kind. You know, you think, well, I'm pretty sure we've had sails on boats before. I think that was the original.
Yes. I was going to say, just like a sailboat.
Exactly. So nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun.
If you think about milk deliveries, Mike, it's delivered by electric vehicle in a recyclable packaging.
Yes.
And it's like a subscription. It's like, it just sounds so modern, doesn't it? And it's been around since the 50s.
Exactly.
It reminds me of that episode of Father Ted where he gets stuck on it, that terrible episode of Speed that they did where it got stuck on down. He gets stuck at 8 mile an hour. If it goes under 8 mile an hour, the whole thing will explode. Very good.
So talking about commercial vehicles that aren't commercial vehicles, you've just done a video that's just gone live on the Electrifying YouTube channel. One of my favourite cars, the ID Buzz. Makes no sense, but we all love it, don't we?
Yeah.
So did you enjoy your time with it?
I really did. Do you know what? I had one back when it first came out, so you know you get them on like press loan, and I had one for a couple of weeks and I loved it. You know, when I had it about a year and a half ago, and I think I love it even more now. And I can't quite put my finger on exactly what it is. It's a charm, isn't it? There's totally a charm to it. I mean, it won't get you far. It's ridiculously expensive. There is no third row of seats, but it's huge and it's got so much character. I mean, so the video is now live, so you can have a good look at it. But also, like on the video, like what we were saying, Mike, there's so many good deals for a second-hand one if you want one at the moment. If you go for like a single tone one, you can get one for like 12 grand of what the original price was. And
early 40s.
Now you don't have to wait a year and a half to get one. Yeah.
Yeah, because that was the nuts thing, wasn't it? When it first came out, because I looked at one before I bought the Ioniq 5 because it was similar kind of to a time, and the dealer delighted in telling me that it was going to be 18 months to 2 years before I'd get my car. So I thought, well, I'm not really that invested in it. I'll let it go. I get an email every week from that dealer now saying we've got stock if you really want it. So I'm kind of thinking, well, no, because you know, we've got sent away with a flea in my ear 2 years ago. But that and it's not just the availability that's changed as well, it's the cost as well. When I was looking at on a lease site before we started this, and it's under £300 for a business lease now for for 2 years. It's only 5,000 miles, not a lot, but it's, if it just shows you that under £300, it was almost double that when it first came out, and you couldn't get one anyway. Yeah. So as you say, the market's changed completely, and it makes no sense. As you say, if you look at all the figures for Buzz, it's slow, it's heavy, it's inefficient. It's not, but it's just one of those cars that it just ticks a box in you, doesn't it? It just makes you think, I enjoy driving. It's one of those cars you look back at when you parked it and walk away from. And I think there's not that many in the world of electric that kind of do that. So I'm glad it exists.
And everyone looks. And anytime I drive past one, I will turn around and have a good look.
Yeah.
It's just one of those, isn't it?
Yeah, I like
so
it.
So charming. Yeah. What have you two been up to? Let's start with you, Tom. Go on then. Apart from trucks.
Driving trucks. Well, I've been looking through the deals as usual, and there have been, including the ID Buzz, some price cuts this week. So we've been used to these kind of deals where manufacturers are offering, £5,000 deposit contribution, but now they've actually gone, all right, okay, we'll just cut the price, which is kind of what we've been asking for all along, isn't it? Just make these cars cheaper. And the big one, I suppose, is the Vauxhall Mokka, where they've now done what they did with the Corsa and brought in like an entry level version. And it is
drum roll.
Looking up
under
29,495. Yeah, under 30 grand. So do you remember we were saying, "Oh, this is a £40,000 car. There's no way it's worth 40 grand." And of course, the depreciation after the first year was huge, and they were offering these big deposit contributions. And now they've just gone, "All right, fess up. Let's just make a cheaper version." Mm. So under 30 grand, that's looking good. Honda is the other one where I know in your original video, Nicola, you went, how much?
Yeah, because it was 45. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have now lopped off, five grand off, isn't it? So they've locked 5 grand off it. So, that suddenly looks more reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, those were in my deals of the week a couple of weeks ago, £249 deposit and £249 a month on PCP. I don't think they're going to be that cheap again. I think that was a one-off deal. And this lower list price doesn't make the monthlies any more attractive because they've taken down their deposit contribution to account for this list price drop. But it's still a nice thing. This is now in a different band. It's no longer up against a Tesla Model Y in terms of its list price. And it makes it a more interesting car. It's where it should have been in the first place. Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder what they were thinking. And the last one is a car which I know Mike hates, and I don't hate
any car.
I have a this makes you think. So the Mazda MX-30.
Oh right, yeah, you do hate that car, Mike.
I don't hate any car. I don't know where this has come from.
Doesn't charge very quickly. The range isn't great, but I kind of see some people who might go, I want a small SUV. I like being up high. I don't drive that far. I like the way it looks. I like the way it drives. But it was always a little bit pricey. Yeah. Now, the thing is, it's now gone down. So it's he says, looking at his notes, 27,995, okay? Which is pretty cheap, yeah, for the entry-level version. But here's the trick. It's also got 0% finance and a £6,000 deposit contribution. So if you went in and paid 27,995, you'd be nuts because you can just put it on a 0% PCP and then they give you another 6 grand off. Right. Now, it's a 4-year deal and you have to put down a deposit of about 4,677. And then at the end of it, the balloon payment, so the money you have to pay if you want to buy the car and keep the car, is only 7,600 quid. So that's what they think the car's going to be worth after 4 years, which is telling in itself. But if you do the sums, it means that that car will have cost you, if you paid that balloon at the end, 21,995.
Huh.
So you could buy a Mazda MX-30 for 21,995 and you don't have to pay more than £199 a month.
I think the question is, would Mike want to have one for 4 years?
Would anyone want to have?
But also, what would you have? What would you have for 21,995? Brand new electric car.
Not
what
not
else
really.
Is there? I mean, that's the same as people are talking about those, the Citroen.
Yeah.
You know, the EC3, that's going to be 22 grand. The new Volkswagen ID2, 22 grand people are talking about.
Yeah.
And this is a £22,000 electric car now. And it's not that bad.
Hey, hang on, you got a short memory. I remember you texting me from a BP Pulse recharging thing, and it was charging at something like 12 kilowatts. And you were late for the shoot. You were late for the shoot. You hadn't charged the night before because something had gone wrong. It wasn't your favourite car then. I don't seem to remember. So I like the cork. The cork's nice, isn't it? But yeah, listen, I don't hate it. I wouldn't choose one. But, you know, every pan has a lid, doesn't it? So, I mean, there'll be people who do like it. So, yeah. it's the same as the Buzz. You know, if you like the look of it, you go for it. And at that price, you know.
Oh, there's way more love for the Buzz than there is for the Mazda.
I'm not saying it's the same. I'm saying same principle in so much as it's okay, yeah. There'll be people who look at it and think, I like that. And it's like there's one going around here in Weymouth. Weymouth has two car dealerships, basically. It has a Vauxhall dealership and a Mazda dealership. And I think there are people who, you know, and it comes up in our postbag every week. I won't travel. If the dealership isn't nearby, I won't. I'm not interested. I struggle to understand that because, you know, my Hyundai dealership's kind of a good 45 minutes away. And I've been there once in 2 years when I get it serviced next month, and it's a courtesy car anyway, so it's no big shakes. But I know, you know, I've had a neighbor who I helped get a car, and they said it's got to be a local dealership for the servicing and everything. I don't know what the everything is, but he wouldn't countenance going to Dorchester, which is about 6 miles away, because that's too far away to have your car serviced. So yeah, and I think that maybe the Mazda was that. Maybe it was just someone walking past and thinking, I like the look of it. They do a lovely red, don't they, Mazda? Metallic red's beautiful.
They do.
Soul
yeah.
red.
Yeah, that's yeah. really nice. So yeah, maybe it's that, you know, people like a familiarity of, you know, local stuff. So maybe it's that. But I think we should move on for the MX-30.
Maybe.
Talking of that, and sorry if I'm delving into your postbag, Mike, before time, but there was a comment from somebody who has a Genesis. Did you see that one?
I did. It's a question for Nicola then, isn't it? Really?
Genesis, the whole thing.
Yeah,
was,
go on, hit me. Go on.
Well, it's that you don't. The idea was that you don't have dealers. You don't need dealers because you've got a concierge who, if you had a puncture, would come and take your car away and fix the puncture. Or if there's a problem, they do servicing, they come and take it away. Now, of course, Genesis have moved to this dealer model using Hyundai dealers. So these people are used to having this concierge when they've got a puncture. And now, like, phone through to their local Hyundai dealer where they have to sit with all the people having... Yeah, the brake pads
like
done on
people
their own
like
tent.
Me.
Are these people being so fabulous because they've got so used to their luxurious lifestyle?
Well, I think that was partly what the car was sold
it's
on, wasn't it?
Concierge or nothing.
You get the concierge. You know, they come and, as you say, they come and fix your tyres, they arrange, get your theatre tickets in the front row, and all this kind of concierge sort of thing. But now that's kind of slightly gone out the window. But you didn't experience any of this, did yours, did you?
Well, no, because I mean, I had it for 6 months. I didn't have any issues with mine, so it didn't have to. I didn't have the concierge enjoyment. No.
But can you imagine being a year, aren't you? Can you imagine being a Bentley buyer and being used to a Bentley dealer and all that nice thing and people talking nicely to you, and then say, "Oh no, Bentleys they're now in Volkswagen dealers, so you have to go and sit there with those people." You'd be like, "Ooh,
oh yeah, sure it's like
this is what I signed up for."
Like, sorry, I normally shop at Waitrose. I don't know what's going on here. Why am I in a Lidl? Come on then, Mike. What you got?
Well, I've been sort of monitoring the international stories and I'm sort of watching with horror with the death throes of Fisker. You know, I'm the one that's sitting by the bed watching the life support machine beeping, and they're wondering where it's ever going to stop beeping because they've had a wretched time, haven't they? Which, you know, you could say is largely of their own making. But some more stories that come out in the last few days. They lost track of a load of orders and a load of money internally, apparently, that they had cars delivered and, you know, people saying, well, I haven't paid for it yet. And them saying, well, yeah, we think you have. And so there was that. They've lost, they had 70,000 reservations initially, but because since the kind of the problems, 40,000 people have cancelled their reservations. Ooh. They've got a ton of stock in the States that they can't shift, even at, you know, 39% off I've been delisted on the stock exchange because the share value had reached zero. It doesn't look good, does it? Every sort of night, I kind of, you know, with trepidation type Fisker into the news search in Google, and it comes up with, you know, various horror stories, but they seem to be hanging on. I don't know if there'll be a future, whether there's anything to buy as a company.
It's a shame.
Save them. It is a shame.
In theory, it looked like it was going to work, and like the whole California mode and putting down the windows. And because I remember I sat inside a Fisker Ocean and I was like, this is really impressive. It's very nice. Everything's all very sustainable, nice recycled materials. I didn't get to drive one. I just got to sit in one and saw the California mode. And from the outside, I was like, well, this is like an electric Range Rover Evoque, basically. Mm. Really nice from the outside, nice on the inside. I just assumed that it would have been a success. Now look,
it's difficult making cars. Is difficult, you know. I think that's the bottom line with this. And I think if it does fail, it won't be the first kind of electric car startup to do so, which is a shame. But there we go. On a slightly more positive note, we've just had sales figures through from March for the UK, and rosy enough, 48,388 pure battery electric vehicles registered, which is a 3.8% rise, which is good. Market share is 15.2%, which is pretty much stable now. You know, whether or not we're going to need some kind of incentive to push that on, but it's kind of been slightly static for the last 2 or 3 months. Yeah. Tesla Model Y was the ninth best-selling car in March. It's positive. It's not exactly incredible. And I don't think it's quite the trajectory that people saw electric car adoption growing. So what do you think? How do you think they're going to those figures will improve?
Well, I mean, it's still mainly businesses buying it, isn't it? Because whether it's through salary sacrifice or it's a company cars, because the incentives are so great. The car makers have to make electric cars more attractive to private customers because they've got to get to this 22% level. Otherwise, they get fined for the petrol cars they sell. So I think we're going to see increasing deals for private customers, and that will incentivize people to go out and buy them, I suspect. But there's still a lot of disinformation out there, isn't there? I mean, all the people who still think that the battery's going to collapse or that... and in fact, that the what has collapsed is the second-hand values, as we've seen. The year-old cars are cheap now, and that doesn't help finance. And there's something that needs to get out of that spiral and make them more attractive.
I think the spiral is largely probably helped by social media. I'm thinking of the post that we did last week, Tom, on the Electrifying Instagram channel. Posted a reel because we both did a long road trip up to Sunderland to go to the Nissan factory, which is really cool, by the way. Video coming out soon. So we had a little look, and then we were talking about charging, and because it's like a 700-mile round trip, so we had to use public chargers. And we stopped at a charger, and one of us was charging at one speed, another was charging at another, and it was a little, oh, mine's charging faster, ha ha ha. No, mine's charging faster, ha ha ha. Simple video. And clearly the Instagram algorithm got hold of it, and along came a lot of angry anti-EV people that are just going nuts on the comments, and it's just constant. I've had to turn off my notifications because it's just getting really irritating, and I'm getting angry with people that are just going, well, I fill up my car in 5 minutes full of petrol and then I'm fine. And you're like, well, yeah, no, I'm aware of that. That's fine. Good for you. That's lovely. By the way, how much is that petrol costing you? Because that's great, because normally when I'm at home, I plug in at home. We're just doing a 700-mile round trip. That's why we're charging publicly, you know. And it's just the anger and the amount of comments that come in, and then everyone just feeds off each other, and then before you know it, so many more people become anti-EV, which is just really frustrating. So I think it's the whole charging infrastructure, all that sort of stuff, just needs more positivity around it, and eventually those numbers should go up.
Yeah.
No, that trip, by the way, I mean, we did have to charge and we did have to stop and have a wee and whatever to do that. So it's slightly more inconvenient than our video man Manos, who went up in his diesel and he was all, ha ha, I don't have to stop. But it wasn't a big deal like it used to be, was it? I mean, there wasn't that whole planning that you had to do of, oh, the charge is going to be working and when I get there and that sort of, there was none of it. I just stopped and charged.
We got a coffee.
Yeah. And it was so much easier these days. Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask, we've got a few readers' questions as part of the postbag, as ever. It's not specifically a car buying one today, more of a car selling one, to be honest with you, but I'm going to read it out to you, see what the team make of it. Mev22 from YouTube says, my husband has 6 months left of his PCP. Unfortunately, his car, Zoe, is in negative equity, so we'll have no value to trade in for the next PCP contract. He's now able to pay off the contract and walk away for no extra cost. But in your experience, will dealerships offer more than the car is worth at the PCP to get your custom? Or is it worth waiting the 6 months? Or shall we pay it off now and just buy a used BEV? We feel so ripped off by PCP, pay all that money and nothing to show for it at the end of the contract. Tom, what do you reckon?
Well, that was the whole point of the video of the free car, the mocker, which was that, you know, you have a PCP and they come and take the car away at the end, or you have to pay for it, which is the same with leasing, which somehow messes with my mind, but I'm very old fashioned about things like that. Yeah. I'd much rather pay off and then have something at the end of it. For PCPs, though, I can see the attraction. I can see it with leasing as well. You say, oh, well, rather than have to spend all this money on car repairs, I can just pay 200 quid a month and I get a new car. Very yeah. nice. In this case, yeah, the PCPs rely on the value of the car being predicted in the future. So the finance companies are taking a bet on it. They're thinking, we've looked in our crystal ball and this car is going to be worth this after 3 years. In this case, they've obviously got it wrong and they've overvalued what the car's going to be worth. So obviously you'd be nuts to pay that off for yeah. when you could like just go and buy it exactly the same car for £2,000 less. So you can hand the car back, walk away, and just go and buy another car or lease another car. What the car dealers hope you will do is just go straight into another PCP. Mm. In this case, that's going to be a bit sticky because they haven't got a deposit, so you'd be expected to come up with one or pay a more monthly fee. They do have incentives to keep people in the finance company. I think it's a company called RCI in the case of Renault. So they will get, the dealer will try and get you into another deal and they may find something to keep you on that finance hook. But otherwise, if they can't, talk to them, say this is what the deal is, what do you reckon? And they might just walk away. It happened to somebody I know with a Nissan Leaf. They just walked away and went to another dealer who did them a better deal. So I don't know. I think I'd go and buy a second-hand one and finance it in some other way if I were them, because you get to keep the car at the end. But yeah. My mindset is different to other people's.
Because the term negative equity is scary, isn't it? Because people think if it comes to the end of a period and you think, well, am I going to owe more money than I've paid? I mean, it basically just means, as you say, it's the finance company that take the hit on that, the difference between the I mean, they use the word guaranteed future value, which is a bit misleading, isn't it? Because that just means that you're not going to owe anything because that's what they'll buy. But it doesn't mean that's the value of the car that you're going to have to. Yeah, you might think the balloon payment is guaranteed when it's not, is it? It's actually just the value of the car. So if it's way below that, then you'd be mad to pay the balloon payment because it's far more than the car's worth. So I guess, yeah, I think that in this case, the car will just go back. But as you said, you might as well have leased it, which have been cheaper monthly costs, and it was just, you're basically renting the car, aren't you? And it's going to go back. So do you think we're going to see more of this with the realignment of used values, putting it optimistically?
Yeah, I think we will. I think that people are used to having a bit of equity in their car when they go back for a PCP, and that's the way the dealers keep them in the same brand, and you just get a new car every 3 years with the same sort of payment. But now, because used car values have gone down, especially electric used car values, there is going to be a lot more of this, I think. So if you get to the end of your PCP and you think, should I pay the balloon? Should I go into something else? Just have a look at what the value of very similar cars is on, well, our used car site, obviously on electrifying.com would be a good place to look. Mm. And just see what that's, so you can say to the dealer, well, I'm not paying that. And maybe they'll do you a deal to buy the car. I think that's the way I'll go, and I'll finance it again based on its current value.
Yeah.
Nice. I have no input in this whatsoever, apart from just I'm gutted for them. Yeah. Everything's all come from you and Tom there, Mike. But that's so frustrating. So frustrating, especially with the Zoe as well, because we all love the Zoe. But what can you do?
There you go. Do you want to know some other post bag things?
Yeah, go on. Yes, please. We've only got a few minutes left. We've been chattering on.
Exactly. Well, I'll be brief. A bumper post bag. Thank you so much. If you listen to this on a podcast app and you're wondering what we're talking about, there is a comment section below the YouTube version of this podcast. So if you feel the need, please put any car buying questions or comments into the YouTube channel comments bit. Tom's leaf. Tom's been the subject of most of the comments this week, I have to say.
And it's Tom's show.
His noisy leaf. Tom has a leaf that is making a funny noise. He thinks it's like you've been followed by a motorbike. Is that right, Tom?
It does. It does sound like, I think one of the comments was about somebody who said that they used to put a playing card in their rally chopper spokes to make it sound like a motorbike. It sounds like that.
Nice. Yeah,
it sounds like
that. I love doing that. Obviously not nice on a car, but on a bike,
No. Well, he's got a couple of suggestions. Hugh Robinson says it might be tyre related, Tom. He had a tyre casing that had gone inside the tyre, which made the tyre slightly oval and only made a noise above 30 miles an hour. It could be worth having the tyre checked, particularly if you've hit a pothole. As we know, your road's strewn, your local area is strewn with potholes. We know that, Tom, from previous messages.
Yeah.
And D. Warmk, it's the name I've been given. Tom, I'll have a guess, an electric rotor bearings within the motor itself, but I really hope it's not. I guess you probably hope it's not because that sounds expensive.
Well, I hope it's not as well. Yeah, I don't think it's motor related because it's difficult in an electric car because you can't tell if it's engine related because you don't change gear and hear if it goes up and down. Yep. But what I did do is find a long hill and put it in neutral. And it was still there then when the motor wasn't turning. So it's road related rather than
potentially
motor related.
Tire then. Is it certain speeds?
Well, yeah. It just goes up with the road speed. So I think above sort of 30 miles an hour, it starts and then it's related. So it's just like if you're on a motorway, it sounds like there's a motorbike behind you the whole time. What I think I'm going to do when I get a moment is I bought a spare wheel because of the catastrophic potholes around here. And of course, there's no spare wheel in the back of the car. It's just a can of foam. So I bought from a scrap leaf another wheel. So I'm going to try that on the back wheels and see if it goes away. And then I've got my answer.
Okay. Well, we'll keep us posted. Right, then the second thing
cheaper
was...
Cheaper than a motor.
It's cheaper than a motor. Yeah, that would be way cheaper than replacing the motor. Tom, you complained last week there was no way of getting receipts for your electric car charging, which Ben, our finance director, is very pleased about because it means you can't put any expenses in. Adrian up north... It's almost like a plan, isn't it? Adrian up north says, you need an electroverse card, Tom. Octopus electroverse. Have you got one? I've got one.
I have actually, yeah.
Okay, it goes no cost
for
monthly
subscription. You shouldn't have to have one to be able to get a receipt.
I know. This is a workaround, Nicola. It's a workaround. You get receipts via the app if you use the Electroverse, which I didn't know. So apparently that's the case. I used it.
But
on
if you don't have Electroverse.
Yeah, well, I'm just giving you a solution to this particular problem, Nicola. And just, you know.
Well, what I tend to do, just in case you were wondering, I go on my banking app and I screen grab the amount of payment that's come out of my bank on that.
And Ben pays you on that, does he?
Okay. There's no receipt.
Okay, fine.
No, I don't actually charge expenses.
Good intel. Well, Adrian sort of says he used this. The more impressive part of this comment from Adrian was that he used it on a 600-mile trip in his Seat Me Electric, which I think is pretty impressive, and it works almost everywhere, but not charge point Scotland. So Tom, if you're going to Scotland, you have to think of a different plan. So I've got hundreds of other comments, especially about insurance and all kinds of things, but we're way over, aren't we? So we're probably gonna have to draw a line under it, otherwise you know, we'll be going on forever. So yes, I guess that concludes the post bag. Nicola,
well done, team. Well, it's been a lovely chat. What are we up to for the rest of the week? Because today, as we are recording, is Thursday. So anything to look forward to that I think we can discuss next week, maybe?
I didn't think I have. No, I'm
just thinking as a tease, like for next week's show, you know?
No, well, I'm going to swap the i5 for the Lexus because Ginny and I swapped for a while.
Okay.
And we're going to swap back because she's got a long journey planned. And I'm quite pleased in some ways because it's too fast. I'm going to get myself in trouble. It's too quick. I'd like a slower car, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's fine. Mike?
No, I've got a Volvo XC40 Recharge, which is going to be called the EX40 Recharge, isn't it? But it's still called the old name, and that's coming in next week. So I've not driven one, and since it changed from front wheel drive to rear wheel drive, so I'll be intrigued to know what that's like. So I shall report on the next podcast. Nice. You?
Yeah.
I've just remembered I've got a car coming too.
Okay.
What's that?
I've got an Aura 03.
Have you? When's that coming?
It's coming in on Monday.
Oh, how long have you got that for?
A week. So it's the one with the bigger battery, which is why I'm trying it. But also, those deals are looking quite tempting.
Oh, yeah, it could be the leaf replacement, couldn't it? Yes.
Could be the leaf replacement.
Yeah, because you seem quite pleased and quite intrigued by it at the same time there, Tom.
Well, I am. It's a long time since I've driven one, and I thought it was a okay car.
Yeah.
But as we were talking about before, okay cars suddenly become quite attractive cars when they're 160 quid a month.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can tell you about how I've swapped that. My Genesis GV60 is gone. I'm now in a BYD Dolphin, but I've had a bit of drama to start with, but it's totally fine. Everything's all going to be swapped over tomorrow, and I can fill you in next week. How's that for a little tease?
That's great. Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week. Don't forget to put comments and everything in the section below. And if you are listening in all the usual podcast places, we appreciate it if you give us a nice little 5-star rating. And just, yeah, because the ratings are really good for us with the algorithm. So if you want us to do well, which you definitely do, then help us out. That would be really handy. Thanks, team. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.